Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From Lower Manhattan, the center of the financial world, this is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. I'm joined by our regular contributors, Joe Nocera with the New York Times and Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine. So Hurricane Sandy has turned New York City and the surrounding area on its head. Estimates for the damage are coming in as much as $50 billion. That will make it one of the costliest storms on record. And Joe, when you look at the damage, especially around Wall Street, do you think there's a chance that people might start wondering if New York really should stay the nation's financial center?
No, that's not going to happen, Charlie. And the reason is because the Wall Street of mythology is different now than the physical Wall Street. Most of the big investment banks and banks have moved uptown and midtown. And, you know, J.P. Morgan, Morgan Stanley, et cetera, et cetera. Goldman Sachs is still downtown, but they've moved into a new building a little further away from Battery Park. And, you know, what is more likely to happen is that whatever firms are still left downtown will also start to think about whether they should move to midtown. But it's really not going to affect New York's place as the country's financial center.
But Rana, the stock market itself, that sort of symbol of finance is based there, it had to close 2 days this week because of the storm. When you consider that so much trading now is done electronically, is there a reason to actually have it down there in Lower Manhattan? I mean, would people not even notice if, say, the trading floor were moved to New Jersey?
Well, you know, I'm not sure that they would from a technical standpoint. I mean, as you say, electronic trading is done all over the place. And accidents in trading happen for all kinds of reasons that have nothing to do with natural disaster. If you remember recently the $460 million trading glitch at Knight Capital, there was the botched Facebook IPO. So these things can happen for a lot of reasons, regardless of where the trading is happening. I do think that there were some concerns about the New York Stock Exchange's contingency plans. A few of the banks and trading firms came under fire for not being prepared enough. And I think that that's something that the SEC will probably look at in regards to a whole host of things that it's going to be looking more closely at as it reviews banks and how they operate in emergencies going forward.
Charlie, tourists would certainly miss the stock exchange. And there are those who actually believe that its primary function right now is to be a symbol of trading rather than trading itself, which mostly happens outside of the exchange.
Well, that goes to the point that the city has really been trying to push the development of Lower Manhattan. When you consider everything it's gone through, why would any business want to locate there at all?
Well, Manhattan is a certain size. There are only so many places you can go. And, you know, the city really does have to show businesses and people that they are taking aggressive steps to make sure that this kind of flooding has minimal damage in the future. You know, one of the things the city has done very well is create an evacuation plan, and there's so many fewer people died than one might have expected for a storm this size, but it still makes you feel unsafe knowing that this flood happened, knowing Irene happened the year before, and so on and so forth. So the city really has to show that it's taking the next group of steps with sea level rising and so on to minimize future damage.
If I can just add, too, it's not even just a citywide issue. It's a national issue. And getting ahead of this sort of thing is really the best thing that you can do. And to that point, I think that there's a conversation to be had about public budget cuts and the fiscal cliff. You know, satellite technology is one reason that we knew exactly what was going to happen more or less 2 or 3 days in advance. People who were trading were able to get in and out of their positions much more quickly, and there was a lot more liquidity than, say, there was at 9/11, something that was unexpected, and that was down to satellite technology. Every dollar invested in satellite technology actually saves $5 in disaster economics afterwards. And it's important to remember that the FEMA budget is going to be cut if we go over the fiscal, as well as the NASA budget, which is where all that space spending happens.
Governor Cuomo has, on a number of occasions, talked very openly about the need to think about these storms coming more frequently and the need to upgrade the infrastructure. And they've done a lot of studies on what New York should be doing going forward with sea level rising. And so they have to not forget that once this recedes.
Well, the damage from Sandy is expected to put it in one of the top five most destructive natural disasters. We were already seeing the impact on the local economy, but economists are saying it's not really going to have effect on the national economy. How can that be?
Well, actually, it may even have a slight net positive effect on the national economy. It's worth bringing up the sort of infamous parable of the broken window. Fixing a broken window generates income for the person fixing the window, but it's not really creating real new wealth in an economy. So all of the cleanup will have an economic effect. It'll probably be slightly positive. It'll add to GDP, but it's not something that you would wish as a way to forward growth.
Well, at this point, I would ask you guys to look ahead to the stories you're watching. But when you consider that there's a presidential election coming on Tuesday, let me ask you something related to the storm and elections and politics. We're seeing this real sense of bipartisanship in the initial recovery. You know, Exhibit A would be President Obama with Republican Governor Chris Christie. So when you consider the amount of money that most likely is going to be requested from the federal government, what do you think the likelihood is that after the presidential election, when we get into a lame duck session of Congress, all of it will get caught up in politics?
Well, Charlie, that will certainly happen. What also happens is that once the storm recedes and people realize how long it's going to take to rebuild, how much money it's going to cost, many of them are not going to have insurance. Many of them are going to feel that FEMA, no matter how quickly it operates, is not operating quickly enough. You get to these tensions between the people who have been affected and Washington and their city councilors and their governors and so on, and it becomes this fight for resources. And the chances of that not happening this time are slim to none.
Well, you know, I would say, I think if Obama wins, boy, he's going to owe Christie. And I think if he doesn't deliver, he's certainly going to hear about it. We know this is a guy who doesn't mince words. If Romney wins, I think it's going to be very interesting. He obviously was asked, I think, 14 times if he would actually cut the FEMA budget and what he would do in this sort of situation, because he's spoken on the campaign trail rather obliquely about pushing back responsibility and resources for emergencies like this to the state. The problem is that when you have a block of 12 states sitting right next to each other that were all affected by the same thing, that kind of resource sharing between states isn't really possible. So I think that there's going to be a very rich discussion about this no matter who's elected.
Well, we'll be closely following the presidential election and the continuing cleanup after Hurricane Sandy at WNYC.org. You can take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.